You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When he's not teaching ESL classes to Eastern European immigrants in Chicago, Joshua Levin spends his days coming up with ideas for atrocious screenplays. Everything from a script about an elderly contract killer who falls in love with his target's teenage daughter to a treatment called Love Trek about aliens disguised as cab drivers. And then things take a bizarre turn when Joshua begins to flesh out the script for his latest movie idea, Zombie Wars. His quiet life descends into chaos, filled with the kind of adventure and violence that, up until now, have only existed on the pages of his screenplays. Alexander Heyman's latest novel, called The Making of Zombie Wars, is published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux, and I'm very pleased it has brought him back to our show today. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Nice to be here again.
You open your novel with Joshua sitting in a coffee shop with his laptop open, beginning yet another script for a terrible screenplay. This one's called The Snake Man Blues. It's about a retired superhero employed as a public school teacher who's fighting the evil mayor of Chicago. Inspired by Rahm Emanuel?
Well, I started that writing that before the elections. But, you know, there are plenty of mayors of Chicago who could fit nicely into that role.
Does he realize how bad most of his ideas are?
No, but because he never finishes any of those scripts. So it always stays in the realm of potentiality.
And is that important that he never finishes them? He never shows them to somebody and gets them rejected?
I think it's very important because then it leaves the option of actually finishing them and being good at it, you know, somewhere in the horizon. And so there's no judgment that he could pass on himself, nor can anyone else pass a judgment. It's a realm of freedom by avoidance.
Well, you have written six novels so far and
six
a lot
books,
of short
yeah.
Six books, novels, and short stories. So you obviously do complete them.
I do complete them.
Is this totally fictional?
No, because I do have a compulsion of coming up with stories. So I might, in my head, so I might be going down the street and see a couple arguing, and then I would spin out, a scenario in which the fight would go on and what their life might be like. But most of those things I drop and never touch them, and I'm not tormented by them. So I finish other things, and some of those situations might show up years from now or years from the moment I saw them, you know, in some other work.
Well, this book also allows you to play a bit with what Joshua is doing because you give us excerpts from some of the screenplays. It also allows you to write in a style that's very different than your own and make fun of the way some people write.
Well, it was fun to do it in preparation for this book. And this is one of the things about being a writer is I took screenwriting workshop classes. And so this is the first time I went into a workshop of any kind. And so I went to churn out those pages sloppily, enjoying that because I was pretending to be my own character.
And what about the other people in the class? Were they writing things like the screenplays about zombies?
No, but they would come up with these ideas. And so nothing really came off any of those things. They would just come up with ideas and discuss them. It was this freedom of amateurs where there's no commitment. They had other lives and they had never had to finish it.
When Joshua goes to a screenwriting workshop, he hates all the other people.
Well, Joshua has trouble engaging with the world in so many ways. But they're also harsh toward him, and he needs pampering.
One of his biggest struggles as a writer appears to be avoiding distractions on the Internet.
Yeah, it's difficult. That's for many writers.
But he's writing screenplays and not writing short stories or anything else?
Well, he had tried to write short stories inspired by Portnoy's Complaint or to write fiction, but somehow he realized he's good at dialogue and started cranking out dialogue.
He also has image problems. He can understand why his girlfriend, a confident, beautiful child psychologist named Kimiko, is attracted to him.
Well, he has a bad perception of himself. He undervalues himself in so many ways and feels bad about himself, but then, pushes through life despite all that.
Joshua teaches ESL classes to Eastern European immigrants. Does he like being Teacher Josh, as his students call him?
I don't think that's his life calling. It's his day job. He was not happy doing that, particularly because he has students who constantly undermine him and have no respect for him.
And you had a lot of fun, I'm sure, coming up with some of these students. There's one, Fyodor, an ex-rocket scientist prone to randomly quoting Dostoevsky in Russian. You have Captain Ponomarenko, a resident ex-KGB officer, and also Anna, the only bright light in the, what you call that, post-Cold War darkness. He's attracted to Anna.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there really people like that in Chicago going
to ESL classes? Well, I taught English as a second language, and I have had a student who was a rocket scientist in his previous Soviet life, and then was relegated to level two in English as a second language class. And I did have a former Red Army officer who just despised me as a weak leader.
But did they relate to the fact that you had come from a communist country?
Well, some of them did, but not all of them. I mean, see, teaching is much like acting. You have to project. And so if you do not project some kind of authority, it quickly falls apart.
I would assume that they would have respected the fact that you came here as an adult and you learned to speak English so well and write so well in English.
Well, some of them did, yes. And they were, I could also connect with them on the basis of my immigration experience, and I could tell them how to get driver's licenses and such and how to fill out documents.
Have you written all of your fiction in English?
Yes, since 1992, all of the fiction I've written in English. I do write in Bosnian, but not fiction.
Now, how similar is Bosnian from the other Yugoslavian languages, like Serbo-Croatian?
Well, Serbo-Croatian was the federal language of Yugoslavia.
Well, it was a kind of construct language,
That
was created at the beginning of the 20th century when people realized that Serbian and Croatian were very similar, even though one's written in Cyrillic and the other is written in Roman letters.
Well, it depends what dialect you pick to be the standard dialect. There were dialects both in Serbian and Croatian that are so far apart as to be different languages, but in terms of federalization of the country, they picked dialects that would cover both sides, as it were.
And then after the breakup, those dialects were emphasized and suddenly you have a Serbian language that's different than the Croatian language.
Well, that's not unlike what happened in Scandinavia some years ago, where, Norwegian was a dialect of Danish and then became independent language.
You left during the war?
I left just before the war started.
And you couldn't go back during the war. Have you gone back since?
I've been going back pretty much regularly since 1997. It was about a year and a half after the war that I went back for the first time.
Were you shocked by how things had changed?
Well, what was strange is that they both changed and were the same, because the geography of the city, the buildings were in the same place, except some of them would be destroyed. So the structure was identical, but everything was different.
And then government is different. I mean, you grew up under Tito.
Yes, but government had started changing before the war. And then, after the war, government is a generous word for what is going on there.
Your plot here coincides with the build-up to the Iraq War in 2003. Does the war affect your protagonist, I was going to say hero, but your protagonist Joshua in any way?
Well, he's not aware of it, but, he's steeped into that heady atmosphere of the Iraq invasion. And he's not paying attention to it, but it's everywhere around him. The TV constantly shows pictures from Baghdad or Iraq and the troops coming in and so on, and everyone refers to it, but he doesn't seem to be affected by it directly.
And why not? Why is he so unfazed by the war?
Because he's so busy with figuring out his life, and of course he ends up committing violence in various ways.
His life becomes increasingly violent. He goes through gory hospital scenes, has encounters with the psychotic landlord. Did you want to put Joshua in a situation where he couldn't avoid conflict anymore?
Well, for years, when people asked me what my next book was, and I would, on a lark, and just kidding, I would say it's a roller coaster ride of violence and sex. And so I lived up to my promise. And I wanted to put someone who's meek, in a situation where he had to engage with the harshness of the world.
Did you, this is almost surreal at times. There's a lot of dark humor. You've had that in your previous books, but this book seems to have a total commitment to it.
I decided early on that this would be a comedy in the sense that whenever I was in doubt, I would err on the side of the funny and see where that takes me. And part of the challenge was that I felt it was riskier. That is, if people laugh, it works, but if they don't, it's dead. With drama or, more serious contemplative stuff, you can relate to it 6 months after having read it. because, you know, the processing of the experience is different. But it, with a book like this, or film comedy, which I've also written, if people don't laugh at contact, they will not do it again.
My guest is Alexander Himon, whose latest novel is The Making of Zombie Wars, Zombie Wars being the movie that that Joshua is working on. He's surrounded by characters who've survived war, his landlord, the crazy landlord, his ESL students, Anna, and he often thinks about his grandmother, a Holocaust survivor. All of these people have been damaged by war.
Yes, and Joshua thinks he's beyond that. He had once saw a commercial in which a person in the commercial was described as dandruff survivor. And so he identifies with being a dandruff survivor as distinct from those other survivors.
Joshua is somewhat enthusiastic about his screenplay called Zombie Wars. What's that about?
Well, you know, I've witnessed a renaissance of zombies in this country in the past 20 years. And there's some kind of psychology of the nation expressed in that obsession of, with the masses of the undead and not quite human attacking us.
And what do you think it means? Because I've been wondering about it. It has little appeal to me, but some of the most popular shows on television, and then there are these movies all with the undead.
I'm not sure, but you know, semiotic interpretation could range from seeing zombies as immigrants who are attacking our way of life in their, you know, incomprehensible bodies, but also
liberal Democrats is the way it usually seems to be depicted in the email I get from some organizations.
The other possibility is, you know, one of the way to interpret them is that it is a fear of death as projected onto this marching army of the undead, not quite dead.
Does Joshua actually like writing about zombies, aliens, and sci-fi horror, or does he just think that this is something that he might be able to sell?
He's hoping to sell it to get out of the life that he's leading, where he's not quite happy, but at the same time, it's a compulsion. He cannot not do it.
I don't want to give away what happens here.
Please don't.
I'm assuming that you were inspired in writing this by all of the TV shows like The Walking Dead.
Actually, I've never seen it, not a minute of it. The only zombie movies I've seen were the, you know, classics, the Romero movies, Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead.
Joshua and his father watch on television as the statue of Saddam Hussein is toppled, and Joshua thinks, this year we are slaves, next year we will all be free, and the year after that we'll probably be slaves again. Hello. Is that Joshua talking or Alexander Himon?
Well, I think Joshua is reasonable enough to agree with me in that particular point.
You said in a previous NPR interview, the Iraq invasion damaged us all in horrible ways. In what ways have Americans been damaged by the war?
Well, I mean, it was based on lies, but it's a major, major defeat. And an inability to confront that defeat is damaging because it's a particular kind of blindness.
Are you surprised by the debate that has sprung up now, all these years later, as to whether it was a mistake to go into Iraq?
I'm amazed that the debate is going on 20 years later nearly, you know, or I mean 12 years later. But that it should have been going on before it all. But this headiness of patriotism just blinded a lot of people.
Do you think being somebody who escaped a civil war, that you and people who have had similar experiences have more of a sense of what goes on in the world than most Americans?
I don't know about, you know, everything in the world, but I was exposed to propaganda, and not for a moment did I think that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. It was so blatantly a lie that it was impossible to sell that unless a substantial number of Americans wanted to believe that. And this is what is amazing to me as a novelist, the willful suspension of disbelief. It's a, you know, it's a useful thing for a reader as far as novelists are concerned. But for a nation, it's not a good thing.
I'm assuming there's another book in the works? Or is it a screenplay about zombies?
No. I have a book on the United Nations coming out in the fall. It's a nonfiction book called Behind the Glass Wall.
Uh-huh. Do the different projects interact with each other, dovetail with each other?
Not directly, no. Not in any way, really.
Do you mostly speak English in your everyday life?
I do, but I do speak a lot of Bosnian with my friends, and I correspond, and there are a lot of Bosnians in Chicago.
Alexander Heman will be giving a reading and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at McNally Jackson. That's at 52 Prince Street. His latest book, The Making of Zombie Wars, is published by Farris, Straus, and Giroux. Thank you so much for being on our show again. This is, what, the fourth or fifth time?
At least, yes. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.